This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So the beautiful thing, of course, about liberty is that when it triumphs, it's a great day. Of course, when it's under attack, which is every day, we got to fight back. That's what they do over at the Institute for Justice. I want to welcome to the program Scott Bullock. He is the president and general counsel at the Institute for Justice, and he just co-authored an op-ed in The Atlantic. The Supreme Court resuscitates the Eighth Amendment. The justices strike a blow against policing for profit. Hey, Scott, welcome back to the show.
Great being with you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I know that the Institute for Justice, first of all, give us an overview of who you guys are and what you do.
Sure. The Institute for Justice is a nonprofit public interest law firm, and we sue the government when it violates people's rights. And needless to say, we are busy every day of the year. And we sue the federal government, state and local governments, because all of them are equally capable of exceeding their constitutional limits and violating people's essential liberties.
That happened in Philadelphia, and you cite Philadelphia in your piece, for example.
That's right. We had a major a forfeiture case in Philadelphia, which was one of the most egregious abuses of civil forfeiture in the country. And they really had a machine operating in the city where they were taking people's cars, their cash, and even their homes. And under civil forfeiture laws, by many of your listeners know, you don't have to be convicted or even charged with a crime in order to lose your property. It's one of the greatest assaults on private property rights in the country today. We were happy to shut down the machine in Philadelphia, and we've got numerous lawsuits throughout the country that are trying to impose constitutional limits on this incredibly abusive power.
Yeah, and you know, it's one thing to charge somebody with a crime, bring them to trial, they're found guilty, and then that's a whole different matter. That's criminal forfeiture. That's not what civil forfeiture is. With civil forfeiture, in most cases, you don't even have to be charged with a crime.
That's exactly right. Yeah, criminal forfeiture can be abused, but people understand it. You don't want people benefiting from criminal activity. But civil forfeiture is the exact opposite of that. You don't have to be charged with a crime in order for the government to take away people's property. And what happens and what happened in Pennsylvania and so many other places as well is the police and prosecutors get to keep what they forfeit, giving them this very perverse incentive to police for profit. And that's what drives so much of the abuse, and that's one of the things that we're determined to change.
The Supreme Court resuscitates the Eighth Amendment. Scott Bullock is the president and general counsel at the Institute for Justice. So what did the Supreme Court do recently that gives us some a good sign of things to come?
Well, it was a great decision, and the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, and this is something that was really, I think, inspiring to so many people in a court that's oftentimes very closely divided, especially on major constitutional questions. The Supreme Court in this case said the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause, which is a lot of times people don't realize, most people they know of the Eighth Amendment think, well, that bans cruel and unusual punishment, but it also prohibits excessive fines. But the Supreme Court, up until this case, had never decided whether that applies to state and local governments. Most of the other provisions of the Bill of Rights, the court over a series of cases have held, applies to all citizens in the country, and it also affects state and local governments. But they never said that that the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines prohibition applies. The Supreme Court, in this unanimous decision that was handed down last month, said it does apply. And this arose in the context of a civil forfeiture case that imposed some really clear limits on the ability of government to engage in these very draconian forfeitures. So it's a really important decision, one that's going to impact not only civil forfeiture, but a lot of other these grossly disproportional fines that a lot of municipal governments, state governments, and the federal governments like to do. So it was a great decision, and now, as we pointed out in the article, it's really up to further court decisions and action by legislatures to make sure that governments stop abusing their forfeiture power and their ability to find folks excessively.
I was laughing. I'm thinking, you know, to the fact of many people listening to the show right now are driving in their cars. And yeah. It was the Solicitor General who was asked the question, by your thinking, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, you know, if somebody's speeding 5 miles over the speed limit, the state could then seize their car. And he said, yes.
That's you weren't really exaggerating. That's exactly what he said, and it shows. And that's where I think got the court's attention, where it got every justice to say, "Wait a minute, are you kidding me?" Because without that excessive fines clause being applied to all governments, then any car that's over 5 minutes over the speed limit, as Justice Breyer said, whether it's a Bugatti or a jalopy, is subject to civil forfeiture. And they said, "Well, we're not going to. That's not what the founders intended. That can't exist in a country that's supposed to respect private property rights and rights to due process." And all of the justices said, "We're not going to permit something like that to happen."
I mean, it's just insane to me, the idea that, oh, you're speeding, well, get out of your car, it's ours now. I mean, but, you know, if you don't stop this stuff now, it's always possible you could go down the road of those extreme examples because, you know, we've talked about this. There was the case of the couple in Philadelphia, the grandparents, the kid was out dealing pot at the end of the driveway, and the city seized the house, you know, he didn't even own the home, they did.
That's right. Yeah, they're not hypotheticals. I mean, this was going on routinely in the country, where people have really no connection or very limited connection to illegal activity, or then having their homes, their cars, or their cash taken away from them. And so that's why the decision is really this landmark constitutional case that's going to impact people throughout the country.
The Institute for Justice, they fight for liberty and for private property rights. They do an outstanding, outstanding job. And Scott Bullock is the president and general counsel at the Institute for Justice. So where do we go from here? And as much as this was a big win, the Supreme Court really didn't say, though, however, that you have to have due process when it comes to seizing private property, did they?
That's what we're, it's the kind of the next step, the next generation. And we hope this is the first in a series of cases that the court takes on to fundamentally reexamine the constitutionality of civil forfeiture. This is going to put a stop to these really excessive civil forfeitures, but we think under a free society, civil forfeiture should not even exist. It's a power that should not be granted to the government, and it should certainly not apply to innocent owners of property. And so we hope that that's the next case that the court takes up, is to look about what, if you have a property owner that has no involvement in criminal activity, how can you take their property away from that? I think the court is poised to look at that issue, to look at this perverse profit incentive that exists under forfeiture laws, and that's what we're aiming to do over the course of the next several years, and making sure that this Eighth Amendment Timms case is also implemented in the right way.
And also the idea that, you know, if you are walking around with money, you know, cash, you're allowed to have cash on you, so they can't just seize that. What do you say in response to people that argue, yeah, but, you know, the money goes to law enforcement, and they've been able to do a lot of great things with that money, and without that money going to law enforcement, we'd have to raise taxes or something like that?
Well, I mean, the problem with this is when you give people this incentive to take property, then you're just going to make sure that, or ensure that government and police and prosecutors take as much property as possible. And the real driving force is not the fair enforcement of law, which is what we want law enforcement to be doing, but how much money am I going to be able to make from this? So it really distorts and sometimes perverts law enforcement priorities. And so if we want to fund law enforcement, great. Do that, but make sure it's done in a constitutional manner, rather than just expropriating this money from people on the street. And again, if people are convicted of a crime, you could take away the cash or the property from them, but not in the absence of a criminal conviction, and certainly not in the absence of criminal charges against someone.
Find them on Twitter at IJ Institute for Justice. Scott Bullock, President and General Counsel, thanks so much for making the time and for keeping up the good fight on this. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. 855-839-1210. I should also mention they also fight very hard for school choice and free speech and economic liberty as well. Okay, look, here's the deal. There's a number of things going on. As I mentioned to you, the president just tweeted out the word veto. He'll veto the Congress saying his executive declaration of a national emergency is unconstitutional. They don't have the votes to override his veto, so that'll stand. For now, it is, of course, headed to the courts, and that'll be a big battle in the courts without question. Like I said, I do understand that there are some Republicans who are just anti-Trump. I get it. I do not put Mike Lee and Rand Paul in that box because the evidence says that they're not. These are guys who just stand on principle. They just have a disagreement. But they were also guys who have fought very, very diligently to defend the president when he said things like we need to pull the troops out of Syria, for example. And everybody was piling on him. Those two were out there defending him.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.